You are listening to a message from City Church of Richmond, located in Richmond, Virginia. We are a broken people, loved by God, continually restored by Christ, and sent out to worship God, serve our city, and work for its renewal. To learn more about City Church and to find out how to get connected to our community, visit our website at citychurchrva.com. That's CITYCHURCHRVA.com. And thanks for listening.
Once again, my name is Eric Bonkowski, and I'm one of the pastors here at City Church. And I want to tell you that I learned more about serving during a month at a camp called Lake Champion in 1993 than anywhere else in my life. That month, I was a volunteer working in the kitchen, and my specific job was in the pits. The pits was the name that was given to the area where all of the dishes were washed. So all of the plates and all of the silverware and all the glasses for the 400 or 500 kids who were there, as well as all of the bowls and trays and everything else that went into preparing the food. It ended up in the pits. And I spent that month working probably 12 to 14 hour days washing dishes. And I learned so much about service. It was a ton of fun, mostly because of the other people who were in the pits with me. There was one guy named Baxley Maselli, and he had a smile on his face every day when we went to wash dishes. And we would come up with different games and activities to keep ourselves entertained through these long shifts of work. One of our side jobs was not just washing dishes, but we had to meet all the delivery trucks that pulled into camp, and we had to unload things either into the walk-in refrigerator or the walk-in freezer. And so we would spend probably an hour in these sub-Arctic temperatures unloading the freezer, and we would do something called the freezer tableau, which is we would go in there, and this is Baxley and me, we would go in there, and we would just freeze in a certain position and wait for the next unsuspecting person to open the freezer door and see what kind of reaction we could get from them. Thank you for the courtesy laugh. We also came up with different songs. My favorite song was we came up to a song based on a Billy Joel song. It was, "Sing Us a Song, You're the Pit Crew Man. Sing Us a Song Tonight." I wish I could remember the whole thing. I'd sing it for you, but it was 30 years ago, and I don't remember. It was hard and humble and hidden work of service, but it taught me so much about what it means to serve God and to serve Jesus. I was thinking about that this week because we've started a new sermon series here at City Church, and it's focused on the life of Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene, we're going to argue, is an exemplar of faith and what it looks like to follow Jesus. And last week, as I introduced Mary Magdalene, I said that she's an exemplar for us primarily because she's healed. She's healed by Jesus. That's her first characteristic. And today, I want to talk about the next, which is that she is a servant. She's healed and she's a servant. And in order to do that, we're going to read some scripture together to better understand who she was. And, you know, the biblical accounts of Mary Magdalene are relatively brief overall. She doesn't appear a whole lot. And so today and at some other points during this sermon series, we're also going to read some other elucidating passages that give us a picture of the certain characteristic. And so today I'm going to read two passages from the Gospels that talk about Mary Magdalene, and then one passage from the book of Romans that I think as we read it, you'll see helps us better understand who Mary Magdalene is. So there'll be a little bit of jumping around, but these words are printed in the worship guide, and you can follow along there, or you can flip with me through your Bible, as I will. So first, let me read from Luke 8, these three verses that we read last week. Here's what it says. "Soon afterward, he went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. Okay? Next, we're going to flip over to Mark chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, and here's what it says. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on, the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And finally, these verses from the beginning of Romans chapter 16, 1 through 7, says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant from the church of Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Father, I ask now that through these different passages, you would weave a thread of connection that helps us better understand who Mary Magdalene was, particularly as a servant, and help us to see who she learned that service from and who she offered that service to. As we consider Mary Magdalene, we pray for your Spirit to indwell our hearts and to stir up our lives so that we would better serve you in the world we live in. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So today I want to talk about two topics. I want to talk about the shape of our serving and the source of our serving. The shape of our serving and the source of our serving. I'll start with the shape of our serving, but even before I get into the particular shape of our serving, I want to explain why I've chosen this word servant to represent who Mary Magdalene is. Why am I calling her a servant? Well, in that Luke 8 passage, in verse 3, we're introduced to Mary Magdalene, and we're told at the very end of that verse that she provided for them, she provided for Jesus and his followers out of her means, along with the other women. The word there that is translated as provided is a verb that means to serve, literally. It's a word that also occurs in Mark. It doesn't occur in chapter 16, which we read from, but it occurs right before that, at the end of Mark 15. It says this in Mark 15, 41, when he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. Ministered to is the same word that's translated as provided in Luke 8. And a more literal translation of that word is serve. It's the root, the same root as the Greek word diakonos, and that's the word from which we get our word deacon. Deacon literally means to serve. That brings us to Romans 16, because in Romans 16, we're introduced in the first verse to this woman named Phoebe, and as she's introduced, it says, a servant, diakonos, of the church at Cenchrea. Now, here's the other thing you need to know. Here's a little primer on biblical Greek. In biblical Greek, you don't have uppercase or lowercase letters. Everything's written the same. If you want to get really into it, in the original manuscripts, they don't have punctuation. They don't even have spaces between the words at times. And so it's a matter of interpretation to understand what these words mean. All of this to say, in Romans 1, as we meet Phoebe, it could be a little s servant, or it could be a capital D deacon. It's a matter of biblical interpretation and reading the context to know what it means. I don't think Romans 16 in and of itself settles the question of whether a woman like Phoebe could be a capital D deacon in the church. I actually think there in the context of Romans 16, it's saying she's just a servant in the same way that Mary ministered to Jesus, in the same way that Mary and her friends provided for Jesus. It may be an open question of the role, the specific leadership roles that women can play in the church, but they can't be decided solely on the basis of Romans 16. I say that because I've had conversations before where people say, well, at City Church, you don't ordain women to the office of deacon. That's true about City Church. And they say, well, what about Phoebe? I say, well, what about Phoebe? She's a servant in the church. If we want to answer the question of women's particular leadership roles in the church, we're better advised to go to passages in Scripture that are specifically talking about the formal leadership roles in the church. Passages like Acts 6, where the first deacons are commissioned by the elders and the apostles of the church. Passages like 1 Timothy and Titus that talk about these matters. I want to say clearly that here at City Church, you do not have to agree with this belief about the specific roles of deacon and elder being reserved for men. But as we have the conversation, I want you to make your argument from what the Bible says, in the same way that I will make my argument from what the Bible says. There can be some confusion about that, and I wanted to start by laying that out. Now, irrespective of all of that, the most important thing for you to take from Romans 16 and from Luke 8 is that Phoebe and Mary are exemplars in the early church of faith. They are servants. They are leaders. They are missionaries. They are disciples. And I believe that Luke and Paul have written about them in such a way that we are to be curious about what made them so effective in following Jesus, serving the church, and leading others to faith in Jesus. That's what I want the rest of our time this afternoon to be about. What is the shape of Mary's particular service and Phoebe's service to the church? Well, the shape has two things, two components. It's corporate and it's costly. It's corporate and it's costly. First, did you notice in all of these passages how Mary is talked about, how Phoebe is talked about alongside other people? And this happens, we'll see it throughout this series, that pretty much every time Mary Magdalene is brought up, she's in the company of these other women, of Joanna, of Susanna. And sometimes these women are named, sometimes they are unnamed. Oftentimes they're named Mary. Apparently there were a lot of Marys in the ancient Near East. Just think of Mary as like the, I don't know, like the Emma of today. What's the, like the Ella of today? I don't know what the most common girl's name is. But there were a lot of Marys running around in Jesus' time. And that's why the gospel writers had to specify, no, this was Mary Magdalene, Mary from Magdala. I got an email this week after last week's introduction, and it was from sort of from a city group. One person sent the email on behalf of a city group, and they said, so Eric, is this group of women, was this Mary's girl squad? And yes, this is Mary's girl squad. She ran around Galilee with Joanna and Susanna and Salome and these other women, some named and some unnamed. Serving that is done by the faithful followers of Jesus is primarily done together. That's important. It's not a solo job. And I think us receiving members into the church today is a good picture of that. That the church that is called to serve Richmond does that alongside one another, in community with others. So the shape of service is corporate, but it's also costly. It's costly in two senses, both materially and personally costly. It says in Luke 8, as we're introduced to Mary Magdalene and her service, it says that she provided for them out of their means, literally out of their property, their material stuff, was given to the early disciples, the followers of Jesus, so they'd have food to eat, so that they'd have money to spend on the things that they needed to buy. We see this echoed in the early church as well in Acts 2 and Acts 4. The early disciples would sell their belongings and give the proceeds to the collective so that they could live and so that the ministry could expand and grow. We also have a clue into the costly nature of this service because we're introduced to Joanna. And Luke tells us that she is the wife of Chuza, who was Herod's household manager. All of that to say she was a person of some socioeconomic standing. She had means, she had wealth, and alongside Mary Magdalene, she contributed that for the good of Jesus and his followers. We see something similar in Romans 16 as we're introduced to Phoebe, because we're told that she was a patron of the church. And that word patron is not a word that occurs a lot in Scripture. It's sort of a technical term, and it means someone who provided material support for others. You may know that a lot of Paul's ministry, he went around from church to church, and he was fundraising. He was trying to get financial support for his ministry. Phoebe was one of the women and men who contributed to that cause. Okay, so back to that email I got, right? At first it asked, was this the girl squad? That had a second question too. It had a follow-up, and it was well-written. It said this, we all know women didn't have money back then. So what was going on here? Were they selling essential oils? Was this some sort of MLM structure? And that question is actually closer to the truth than you might think. Not the MLM part, but the essential oil part. Because we're told in Mark 16, did you catch that? Mary Magdalene and Salome, the women who were with him, or with her, what did they do? They went and they bought spices. Essentially essential oils. And they were taking them to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus that they expected to find there. Now, why is all of that important? Well, because in the ancient Near East, spices or oils or perfumes tended to be one of the greatest assets that a woman could have. So it's telling, it's sort of filling out the circle here of the story that they would spend their money on these spices, showing that they're willing to give this costly gift. We also have the story in Luke 7, which happens right before we're introduced to Mary Magdalene, of a woman who falls down before Jesus' feet, breaks open a bottle of perfume, and anoints his feet. And it's recorded by Luke because it's this lavish display, this costly service to the one they recognize as king. So not quite MLM, but essential oils for sure. There were women with money. There were women with property. There were women with means in Jesus' day. And as we look at Mary Magdalene, as we look at Phoebe, we see an example of how they can pour that out in costly service to Jesus and his people. It wasn't just materially costly, however. It also was personally costly. We see a hint of this in Mark 16, as we're told, when they go to the tomb. Very early in the morning, they're sacrificing sleep. They're willing to get up when others are not up to go and spend their value on Jesus. We see it even more clearly in Romans 16, not necessarily in Phoebe, but in the list of these other people that Paul mentions at the start of his letter. He says, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Prisca was female, Aquila was male. It says, who risked their necks for my life. That shows the personal cost that they were willing to spend for the sake of the gospel. It goes on down a little bit further in verse 6, and it says, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Again, Paul is underlining the straining, the work, the effort that this woman put in to the sake of Christ. Romans 6:16, greet Mary. We don't know that that was Mary Magdalene, but we also don't know that it wasn't. What if this same Mary is Mary Magdalene? 10, 20, 30 years down the line, after she had followed Jesus around, we know that Mary was a faithful follower. We know that she was a servant of Christ. We know that she was someone who was willing to work hard for the sake of the gospel. It could be. We don't know. What we do know is that multiple times in the New Testament, we're given this record of Mary Magdalene and other women serving Christ at great personal cost to themselves. In some ways, we know this is just women being women. It's what women do faithfully, tending to their children, caring for others, often not after they've been asked, but even before they've been asked to do it. Doing this hard work at great cost to themselves, not looking for acknowledgement, but doing it because it's the right thing to do. It all squares with our understanding. And it shows us what the shape of serving in the kingdom is meant to look like. Mary and Phoebe are great examples for us. All right, that's the shape of their serving. What is the source of their serving? Mary's serving and Phoebe's serving. Well, what I think you'll see as we look at this is that the source of their serving was the good news and the good work of Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to understand is that all of this serving, all of this work takes place in a context of the gospel, of the good news. That's what gospel means. It's the good news being spread around more broadly. Last week, as I introduced Mary Magdalene, I said that the profound moment in her life from which everything else would flow, the fountain of her faithfulness, was her healing. And so you know that the source of her service is the fact that she had been healed by the touch of Jesus. These 7 demons had gone out of her. We see that in her serving as well. You see, she becomes a servant in the kingdom of God because she was served by God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. The Son of Man, who, as our assurance of pardon reminded us today, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. She experienced personally in an embodied way what we read about in Philippians 2. Of Christ, the one who, although he was the Son of God, did not count equality with God something to be held on to, but emptied himself and became a servant. Servant. Served by Jesus, Mary and Phoebe could be servants for the sake of the gospel. And we see that even in Luke 8, as we're introduced to this service of Mary and her comrades, we're told that Jesus was going around bringing the good news of the kingdom. It's all to serve the gospel. It wasn't personal service to Jesus so much as service for the gospel that Jesus was bringing into the world. They weren't personal attendance to the man Jesus. They were committed to the cause of the gospel going forward. Likewise, in Romans 16, we read about how the service of Phoebe and other women benefited many different people. It wasn't just service to Paul. She was a servant of the church at Cenchrea. Many people benefited from all that she did. You know, most interpreters think that Phoebe is mentioned here in Romans 16 because she was the messenger who carried the letter to the Romans, to the Roman church. Paul wrote this letter in the city of Corinth, and it had to be taken to Rome so that it could be read. Most people think that Phoebe is mentioned here because she is bearing that letter. You see, her service is tied to the gospel. It's tied to the good news going forth into all of Asia. It's tied to people's lives being converted as they hear about Jesus, the God-man. The writer Andy Crouch puts it this way: Phoebe was a church leader. She was a philanthropist, and apparently now she was commissioned to carry Paul's letter to the community he counts as beloved friends. What I want you to understand is that the service of Mary, the service of Phoebe, is in support of the proclamation of the good news of Jesus. It is not just meeting physical needs, although it may be that. It is meeting the spiritual need of every human who's ever walked the earth to know that Jesus is the healer. And what Andy Crouch writes about Phoebe could equally be said about Mary Magdalene, word for word. Church leader, a philanthropist, commissioned to carry not Paul's letter, but commissioned to carry the news of the resurrected Jesus to his friends. We'll talk about that more in a future sermon. But Mary was the first witness of the resurrection, and she went and told the other disciples. She is a servant in the gospel. That is the source of her serving. And this is nothing new. This role that Mary plays, this role that Phoebe plays as servants who are also witnesses, it goes back to the Old Testament. It goes back to the book of Isaiah and the passage that Liz read for us as our Old Testament reading, where it introduces these two terms, servant and witness, together. In God's view, a servant is always a witness to something bigger. A servant is a witness to the gospel of Jesus. Here's one other way that we see the source of Phoebe and the source of Mary's service. It's through Jesus and what Jesus does as a healer. What you need to understand, and one of the reasons that we're doing this sermon series focused on Mary Magdalene, is because in the ancient Near East, women's identity was tied to a man, culturally. Either a father, or a husband, or a son. But what Jesus does through the power of the gospel is he provides a new identity that isn't dependent on relationship to a man, but on relationship to himself. And that is what he offers to all of us today as well. That our identity is not based on our relationship to any other human, but it is related and based upon our relationship to Jesus Christ. We talked about this last week, that in healing Mary Magdalene, Jesus gave her a new identity that allowed her to be a disciple and a servant and a follower and a witness and a leader in the church. And we see the exact same thing in Romans 16. But if we blink, we'd miss it. Let me read again verse 1. It says this, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church of Cenchreae." And then it goes on in verse 2, and it says that she is a patron of many as well as myself. There are three words that are used to describe Phoebe in those two verses. Patron, we've talked about. Servant, we've talked about. We haven't talked about the most important one. Sister. I commend to you our sister Phoebe. In a culture, in a world where a woman didn't have an identity outside of a man, Paul says, because of the work of Christ, she is one of us. She's our sister. She's in our family. Because Phoebe had received from Jesus what she could not receive from any earthly man. She had a new identity because of him. She was a sister in the family of God. She received a father, not by birth, but by rebirth. She received a husband, not by marriage, but through faith in Christ. And she received a son, not through the pain of childbirth, but through the gift of grace of God's only begotten Son. And it changed her life. And that fact of her faith became the source of her serving, as it does for anyone who truly believes. And I want you to see these two things as connected, because it's the fact that she had received this new standing, this new identity as a sister in the household of God that made her a willing servant in the household of God. The source of her serving is the gospel of Jesus Christ and his grace. You may have read, you may be familiar to some extent with the book of Romans. It's known as Paul, the Apostle Paul's most formidable theological work. And yet the last chapter, chapter 16, is this intimate roll call of his friends, of men and women who were his sisters and brothers in the gospel. This is highly unusual in letters of the ancient Near East. What is going on? Why would Paul write this? It makes perfect sense if we understand the gospel, if we understand what Paul understood about the new identity and the new standing and the new dignity and the new value that comes from the grace of Jesus Christ. That is the source of service. Why am I harping on this? Why am I spending so much time on this? Because I think it's essential for us to understand our service. If we were to look at Mary, if we were to look at Phoebe as exemplars of what our service should look like, because for many of us, too often, our service, fundamentally, it boils down to, I've got to do this in order for God to love me. Or I've got to do this because that's what a good Christian does. No, friends, the gospel says you are in the family. You're already in. You don't have to do anything. It's all by grace. By grace I am redeemed. By grace I am restored. And out of that standing, because I know I'm healed, because I know I'm beloved, because I know I'm a daughter, because I'm your sister, I will lay down my life in service for others. And it's why, friends, as we think about serving either within City Church or beyond the walls of City Church, at harvest parties or at the city of Richmond and all of its needs, it's why I don't get up here and browbeat you with you have to serve more. It's far more effective for me to get up here every Sunday and with tears in my eyes remind you that you are God's beloved, that he has served you, that he has set the table in his house and invited you to sit down and wrapped a towel around his waist so that he could serve you. And if you believe that, if you hold on to that, you will be a willing servant, a Mary or a Phoebe. And friends, that's why that month in the pits at Lake Champion in 1993 made so much sense. Because two summers before that, the same place, God opened my heart to his grace. God called me into his household. God told me, you're my beloved son. So service was a joy. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we often miss the little words in the Bible that mean so much. But today we ask that by your grace you would help us to understand the warmth and the intimacy and the love and the grace and the power behind that little word, sister. And we pray, I pray for these friends that they would believe and they would know and feel in their bones that because of Jesus Christ's service to them, they are part of your family. This gift to be received by grace. And as we rest in that security, would you send us out to be willing servants to each other and to a weary world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.